wonderful, majestic world around us, it's time for Dear Science. Thanks to MOTAT, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.
Kia ora, everyone, and welcome to Professor Alan Blackman, who is here in studio with us.
As ever.
Yes. Yeah. It's been a little while since I've seen you, actually.
It has, actually. I was on jury service last week, so.
No way. Oh, wow. That's intense.
Let's sit in a room for 2 days and not get called. Yeah.
Oh, well, you're anyway. Out of it now, and you're back on probably your highlight of the day, which is Dear Science.
Absolutely. There you go.
And we've got some very icy topics today. We're right in the middle of Winter Olympics, or it's just started last week, I think.
Yep.
And so we've got a few topics kind of related to that.
Absolutely.
So they can kind of, we might bleed them into each other a little
bit. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, we most certainly will. Yes.
Yeah. Well, let's start. Let's, this first one you've sent through about, what is it? It's about pure ice, the necessity or the changes in the Winter Olympics.
let's just talk about cold things. There we go.
Let's talk about cold things.
Let's talk about cold things and cold temperatures and snow and ice and cold water and all of that good stuff, which is all happening at the Winter Olympics, obviously, because they can't get very far if it doesn't snow over there. So let's kick off with the whole idea about skiing.
Yeah. Have you been watching?
Is there I've got to say, I did see Zoe win her silver medal just before.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was great to see. Fabulous. It only seems yesterday in my world that Annalisa Koberger won the first ever Southern Hemisphere medal at the Winter Olympics in 92, I think it was, when you guys probably weren't alive. Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway.
So the whole point about skiing is to get down the hill as fast as you possibly can, faster than anybody else. Mm-hmm. That's the basic physics of it. That's simple, you know. Okay, top, bottom, get there quick.
Yep. And of course the snow has some impact on that.
Well, the snow does, and what people wear does as well. And so, you know, so you've got to get yourself the right suit. It's got to have very, very low drag. So they make their suits out of really advanced materials like Lycra and stuff like that that have very, very, very low drag. And they're all tested in wind tunnels and stuff. And, you know, just what goes into sports now is just ridiculous. Okay. So you've got the clothes and then you've got the actual implements, the skis. And so back in the bad old days when people didn't worry too much about this, the skis were made of wood, you know, back when they, you know.
Yeah.
But then they decided, okay, well, let's go to metal then. We could use that. But nowadays, so these, you know, skis are just ridiculous, again, to use that word. So we've got a core in the skis, and the core can be wood still, or so laminated wood, or it can be foam, or it can be this aluminium, titanium, vanadium alloy, which is really light and tough and all of those important things. And then the core is surrounded by things like fiberglass and carbon fiber, Kevlar. Kevlar is the stuff they use in bulletproof vests. So it's strong, it's light, okay, flexible. And so you've got all that surrounding the core. And then on top of that, or in fact on the bottom of that, is the base, because that's the bit that's going to be in touch with the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really, really important. And they make the base of this stuff called ultra-high molecular weight polyethylene.
Wow. It's like half of this sport is just about the equipment that you're using.
Oh, God. Oh, nine-tenths of it is.
Absolutely.
You know, it really sounds like it. So this polyethylene, it's a polymer, and it's got this property of being what we call hydrophobic. Which means it's
afraid of water.
Yes, very good. Yeah. Excellent. Yes, it is afraid of water. Absolutely. And that's exactly what you want, because you don't want a lot of friction between the ski and the ice. And so you've got this hydrophobic material that really doesn't like water. And so you've got this nice low friction. But on top of that, to keep your friction low, you wax your skis. Okay. And wax is also hydrophobic as well. And then somebody in Norway in the 1980s had a great idea, and they thought, oh, okay, we know about Teflon. We know about nonstick fry pans, don't we?
Yes.
Okay. And so Teflon is the material in nonstick fry pans, okay? And that is an example of a thing called a perfluoroalkyl substance, or in other words, a PFAS, which you might have heard of as being a forever chemical, which is a horrible name for these things. So it's a fluorinated material, and that has, as you know, nothing sticks to Teflon. So if you put this Teflon wax on your skis, then you're going to have even less friction.
Okay, right.
So that's the whole point of doing that.
Yeah.
But now this is going to be the first. So this was in the 1980s. So this now is the first Olympics where they're not going to be allowed to use these PFAS materials in the wax on their skis because they're bad for the environment, so they're saying. So everybody is busy trying to find desperately an alternative to these PFAS waxes. And so I guess we'll see how this all pans out when we look at the downhill and stuff like that.
Maybe they should just go back to, like, when the Olympics started and do it the exact same way and see if they're actually getting better every year.
Funny you should say that because, you know, certain people think that waxing makes no difference.
Then why would you do it?
Because they always have. You know, that's the reason that you do anything, isn't it? Because you've always done it that way. And so, so, you know, there's a whole truckload of chemistry going on in something as sort of unchemistry, as you might think, as skiing. So, you know.
Well, there's another thing that you're kind of talking about here, which was the difference between pure, like real snow and artificial snow.
Oh, absolutely.
So, what is the difference there with how a skier can go down a hill, I suppose?
Well, there is a difference between real snow and artificial snow.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, in the last Winter Olympics in Beijing, all of the snow was artificial. You know, they weren't taking any chances on climate change and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so basically it was all artificial. So the way that they make artificial snow is that they get a very, very fine mist of water under pressure and they spray it out. And as long as the temperature is below about minus 2.5 degrees Celsius, the air temperature, this stuff will rapidly, rapidly freeze. Okay, and turn into, well, basically ice. Okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, ice and snow are just examples of solid water.
Yes.
Okay, that's what they are. They're solid water, but they differ crucially in basically in their overall structure. Okay, so you might have seen, you know, if you've been in fresh snow or something like that, it's really light. It's fluffy, it's light, it's what you call powder snow.
And then you get that, like, weird icy, slaty stuff that's a bit miserable to walk on.
Right, exactly. Okay. Yeah. And so the thing about powdered snow is that there's a lot of air in that. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a mixture of air and water, and that gives it its fluffy thing, okay?
So have they tried manufacturing like artificial snow that would be in lieu of better equipment that would be better to like go down on a hill?
Well, that's the thing. Powdered snow is the stuff that you don't want if you're skiing. If you want to go quick, you don't want powdered snow.
Yeah.
Okay. What you want is hard packed stuff. Even a little bit icy
like
because
less friction.
You're away.
Yeah, okay,
exactly.
Okay.
It all comes down to this less friction thing. And so what you really do want if you want to go fast down a ski slope is the artificial snow because that has much lower air content in it and so it freezes into these little ice particles and they are hard, they are solid and so that's what you're looking for, okay?
Yeah.
And strangely also, so you've got four sports that involve ice. So you've got curling, you've got figure skating, you've got speed skating, you've got ice hockey.
Okay.
And they are all carried out on ice. And you might think, okay, whoop-de-doo, ice is ice. No, it's not. No, it's not. The things you learn. So curling, you need very, very hard ice. Okay, so you're throwing those stones down, you know. What you don't want is those stones to leave a track, basically. Okay, so you want them to leave the surface, you know, absolutely pristine so that they're not wearing a groove in the whatever you call a curling field, I guess.
In the curling field, yes.
And so what you need for that is very, very pure water. So, and by very, very pure, we are talking 0 to 10 parts per million of things called total dissolved solids, which are normally things like salt and stuff like that, okay? And if you have very, very high purity water, then you're going to get nice, hard ice, which is all good.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, if you are a figure skater, then you want softer ice, okay? And so you want about 120 to 150 parts per million of total dissolved solids in that. You just skate better on softer ice, okay? That's the way it works. And the whole way that skating works is really, really interesting, and if we had the time, I'd really go into it in huge detail. But basically, water is really, really weird because the freezing point of water lowers with pressure. As you pressurize ice, it freezes below zero, which is really, really weird. So
does that flow into our last topic as well?
Well, what happens when you're on skates, okay, what's actually happening there? Your skate has a very, very low area, okay? You're putting a lot of force on a very, very low area.
Yeah, which gives it's like quite a thin ice skate.
Which gives very high pressure, and actually what happens is it melts the ice beneath the skate.
Yeah.
And so you're actually skating on a really, really thin film of water.
Oh.
Which is the way that skating works, okay? This is all chemistry. Skating. First year chemistry, you know, amazing stuff.
Yeah.
So that's what you need for ice skating. So you need sort of high salt ice, okay?
Mm.
And then your ice hockey and your speed skating are sort of somewhere in between. So ice isn't in fact ice. It's got to be made to quite specific specifications, yes. Okay?
Which we've talked a lot before, or previously before, about how water and ice can freeze at different, compounds.
There's about 20 different forms of ice that you could get. And that all depends on the temperature and the pressure at which it is manufactured, okay?
So there
you go. There's lots of chemistry in the Winter Olympics. Who'd have thunk that, you know?
Yeah.
So, and finally, what we will very, very quickly talk about, because we do have a packed program today, I'm told. So we've got to be quick.
We've got time. We've got this last one. We've got water that can freeze at below 0 degrees.
Right, exactly. Yes. Okay.
How does that work?
So you go down to Antarctica or you go up to the Arctic or whatever like that, and you drop a thermometer over the side of your boat or whatever, and chances are you're going to get a water temperature that's actually below zero.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start thinking, whoa, hang on, how does that work? Because we all know that water freezes at 0 degrees, doesn't it? Boils at 100 degrees and it freezes at 0 degrees.
It's one of the few things that I seem to know in this topic, actually. So, am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. But how the heck do you get water at less than 0 degrees?
Go on.
So, and the answer to that is, again, something to do with what we were talking about in the previous one, total dissolved solids, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So seawater isn't pure water. Is it?
Not in the name, anyway.
Well, you get a mouthful of it, you know. You know there's something else in there, isn't it?
And a lot of fish pee, probably, among other things.
Well, more,
I'm sorry, no,
more importantly to the argument in question is that you've got a lot of salt in there, okay?
Yeah,
Hence they call it salt water.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm following. Yeah, go on.
Now, pure water freezes at 0 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Salt water, on the other hand, freezes below 0 degrees. And to understand that, we need to sort of figure out what's going on the microscopic scale. So when water freezes, what happens? Okay, you've got your little water molecules in the liquid and they're vibrating and jiggling and everything like that. And as you cool them down and cool them down and cool them down, they slow down their vibration and their jiggling and everything.
Yeah.
And then you get to the point basically where they're vibrating so small and so, you know, so minimally and jiggling so minimally that they can then stick together. And when they stick together, then they form a solid.
And that's frozen, that's ice.
Right, and that's ice. And that process occurs at exactly 0 degrees for pure water, okay?
Right. But the salt probably gets in the way, right?
Oh, God, I couldn't have put it better. God damn it, you're stealing my thunder. Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely perfect. Absolutely perfect. Please. The salt gets in the way.
Yeah.
Okay? So if you've got salt in there, you've got sodium ions and you've got chloride ions, and they're sort of floating around with the water as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you're cooling things down and the water's jiggling a little less and a little less and a little less, and it gets to the point where it wants to stick to the next door water molecule. Trouble is, there's a sodium ion or a chloride ion in the way.
Yeah.
And so you've got to cool it down even more so that those water molecules can actually come together and freeze and kick out those sodium ions and those chloride ions.
Oh, so it removes the
It
salt.
Does. It absolutely does.
Oh, I thought
does.
It might like freeze it. Like,
yep. Wait.
Yeah.
Are you saying icebergs aren't salty?
Yes. Yes. Yep.
That's,
where does the salt go? Does it sit on the top or something?
Yeah. So if you want to purify water.
Makes the water salty.
Yeah. If you want to purify water, one way of doing it is freezing it.
Oh.
Because it actually expels
the crazy.
Salt.
Okay.
Oh, look. See,
you blow my
come
mind
do
here.
Chemistry, people. It's just endlessly.
You know.
And so last month, some scientists in Canada and Australia had got evidence for the fact that about 700 million years ago on Earth, there were water temperatures, the seawater temperatures were around about minus 15 degrees, which is just ridiculous. So I think up in the Arctic, I think there might be about minus 1 point something.
Yeah.
It gets down to certainly negative, but not very negative.
Yeah, okay.
So there you go. There's the chemistry of cold, I guess. I think we can call that today. So, you know, go the Winter Olympics. And
A very chilly episode today. But that's very interesting. We've learned some cool things about ice.
Oh, no pun intended. Some water. Cool things. Ka-ching. Oh,
I didn't even learn that one. I'm just on a roll. Anyway, thank you so much. That's the Dear Science Show today. So thank you so much, Alan, for joining us. Thank you, as always, to Motat. And thank you, Science. We're going to be right back after a quick break. Keep it on the beat.
Nice day today. Was that Alan?
Alan! 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 Alan!
The Wire.
Well, I didn't know that before. Dear Science, thanks to MOTAT, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.